Hello, this is Sharon. I welcome you to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. As always, we begin the reading on the front page with an article entitled Arts and Entertainment, Locals Shine in Technicolor. Musical Collaboration Stages Pretty Big Show. Prairie Fire Theater's 2026 summer show, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, brings together a community of artists in first-time collaboration with Studio Connect Musical Theater. The show, written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, is a family-friendly, sung-through musical which tells the biblical story of Joseph, his jealous brothers, and his iconic coat of many colors, the theater company says. Joseph is such an accessible musical for everybody. Like, it really is a story that is timeless, and it's all about redemption, and it's beautiful, said Studio Connect musical director Grace Van Donk. Joseph premieres Friday, August 7th, and runs for 2 weekends at the Astroth Community Education Center Theater at Heartland Community College, 1500 West Robb Road in Normal. Tickets are on sale now and available online at prairiefiretheater.org. Starting at $26.50 for adults and $6 for children. Student, senior, and military discounts are available. Producers and actors alike said they find the show entertaining. It features nonstop music and dancing and dozens of local talents, including a live orchestra and 2 choirs with both children and adults. This is a pretty big show, said choreographer Christy King. I'm excited that we get to do this in our town, and hopefully people receive it well. The play recounts the genesis story of Joseph, his betrayal by his brothers, his rise from slave to the right hand of Pharaoh, and his reconciliation with and rescue of his family. In total, the cast consists of 36 adults and teens, with 2 choirs of 20 children each, and many of the leaders and cast have already known each other. Prairie Fire, founded in 1998 by artistic managing director Robert Mangliardi, is described on its website as a theatrical group dedicated to bringing professional, first-rate musical theater and light opera to the local community. Prairie Fire has staged 3 to 4 shows each year. Van Donk heads the Music Connections Foundation, a nonprofit that describes its mission as enriching lives through music, education, and community. Studio Connect offers musical theater, private lessons, and group instrument instruction for children ages 7 to 18. Joseph director Lori Adams, who is well known in the community for her work with Illinois State University, said she actually came straight onto this project after directing Our Town for the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. It was a great opportunity, and so I wanted to take advantage of that, she said. Adams described a gathering of excellent singers, dancers, and actors, some of whom she's worked with before. One familiar face for her is lead Nate Douglas, a former ISU acting student who is playing the show's title character. Among local talents, Adams also praised Ellie Landis, who's playing the narrator, as well as several other current ISU students who are in the show. This community has an abundance of talent at all ages, from the littlest to people that are much older, said Adams. She said decades of experience working with them has allowed her to watch children grow up and fill those artistic roles in the community. The collaborative effort for the production of Joseph was the brainchild of Van Donk, who approached Mangliardi, Van Donk said, adding she's known him since she was a baby. After taking over as director in April, Van Donk had an idea of bringing her students to collaborate with Prairie Fire Theater, a company she's grown up participating in as a Bloomington native. I've always wanted to do a production of Joseph, but there's no youth version, said Van Donk. So I just kind of had the wild idea that maybe we could do a collaboration with Prairie Fire Theater. Van Donk noted that children's choir is an important part to the musical. Working together may provide an opportunity both for the children at Studio Connect and actors and singers with Prairie Fire. Van Donk said two of the adult leads, Douglas and Landis, have directed the youth theater group. And local theater connoisseurs may see other familiar faces on stage, such as Pat Gake, lead of last year's The Baker's Wife, who's taking on the role of Jacob, father of Joseph and his brothers. Landis auditioned for her role in April while in graduate school at Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. After being offered the role of the narrator, Landis decided to come home to Bloomington Normal for the summer. This is my first production with Prairie Fire Theater, said Landis, adding that she grew up watching the company. I finally get to do a show with them, so I'm really excited about that. I'm thankful that this is such an art-rich community here, and there's opportunity to do stuff like this, Landis said. Hay brings men at work, music, energy. Colin Hay never wanted to do anything other than music. He was born on the southwest coast of Scotland, and his parents owned a music shop. His father also was a singer and dancer, so he was always surrounded by music from a young age. It all truly started, however, when he discovered the guitar around age 12. Now 73, Hay has been the frontman of Australian rock band Men at Work since 1979 and is out on tour once again, taking the stage at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th at Grossinger Motors Arena, 101 South Madison Street in Bloomington. The audience is really what makes it exciting. It's a big energy that comes at you. If there's 3 or 4,000 people or however many people in the audience giving you their energy, you know that it's quite addictive, Hay said of what he still enjoys about touring after over 40 years. That particular high when you walk onto a stage with a bunch of musicians that you like playing with, you're always wanting those moments of magic that happen on stage when you play music, and it's always unique and particular to that audience, he added. He said that's the true high of hitting the road. It's the crew loading and setting up equipment, sound checks, and everything else leading up to when the audience arrives and the 2 hours of live performance on stage. While the touring group is not the original band, it is Hay along with musicians he's worked with over the last 10 years. They play predominantly Men at Work songs, as well as some of Hay's solo work. Men at Work, who broke out in the 1980s and won the Grammy for Best New Artist in 1983, released 3 albums between 1981 and 1985, as well as a few compilation, extended plays, and live albums later on. He said the current group predominantly plays songs from the first 2 albums that were commercially successful and 1 single from the 3rd album. They are best known for hits like Down Under, Who Can It Be Now, and one of Hayes' favorites, Overkill, which he said is always a good show moment because he enjoys playing and singing it. But he enjoys performing all of their material and still discovers new things about the band's music all these years later, he said. The audience, they tend to be people where music has meant something to them in their lives. So they come in to see you with a certain element of nostalgia and excitement about rediscovering, reclaiming, or reliving something, he said. So it's kind of like you're dropping into someone's memory and triggering it, and hopefully giving them somewhat of a joyful experience in the process. Hayes said the show is also about transporting people with music and making them feel good by putting a little spring in their step and giving them a good night out overall. He said he always looks forward to the shows because there's a level of excitement before going on and officially taking the stage. The doors open at 6 p.m. Men at Work will be joined by Toad, the Wet Sprocket, and Shonen Knife. Shonen Knife is a new band Hay discovered. He said he liked their music and thought they would make a great addition to the tour, even if they aren't an obvious choice. He also has known Glenn Phillips, frontman of Toad the Wet Sprocket, for years. They actually toured solo together in the United Kingdom last year and are represented by the same agent. It made perfect sense to add them to the tour, he said, adding, it's been working beautifully. I think still being alive and still managing to feel that people are still interested in what you have to say or how you play or how you sing are powerful motivators, he said. I still have an audience, which seems to still be growing, so that's very heartening. You know, if I didn't have an audience, I wouldn't be on the road. So the demand is what makes you go out and you go where you're wanted. That's one of the best things about still being around and still being active, he added. Not only in a live sense, but continuing to make records and try and make songs and sounds that people are listening to. He said he still has fans writing to ask him to tour and promoters still buy the show. That means he's able still to travel the world and play for different audiences. Men at Work also will be playing August 5th in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then August 7th in New Lenox, Illinois. The band will continue playing across the United States through September, and then Hay will be setting out on a solo tour in Australia throughout October and November. Hay is currently working on new music as well. If you want to go, Men at Work and Toad the Wet Sprocket with Shonen Knife takes place at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, August 6th, at Grossinger Motors Arena, 101 South Madison Street in Bloomington. Tickets start at $38 and can be purchased via Ticketmaster or through the arena box office. You can visit the website grossingermotorsarena.com. Illinois, retailers required to take cash. New laws also cover juries, CPR, and faculty. Most Illinois retailers will be required to accept cash payments beginning in 2028 under a bill that Governor J.B. Pritzker signed on Friday. House Bill 4592 requires retailers that employ someone to process in-person consumer transactions must accept cash payments on purchases under $500. Though the businesses do not have to accept bills larger than $20 bills. The requirement does not apply to self-checkout machines, overnight sales. If a business runs out of cash, membership-only businesses, or phone or internet purchases. Businesses that do not follow the law will have to pay fines. For many Illinois residents, cash remains a dependable and necessary way to pay for everyday purchases, Senator Christopher Belt, Democrat from Swansea, said in a statement. People deserve the freedom to choose how they pay. The measure was one of 87 bills that Governor Pritzker signed. Employers will now have to pay their employees their full rate of pay while they're serving on jury duty under House Bill 4844. Businesses with 25 or fewer employees are exempt from the requirement, which begins immediately. House Bill 4788 requires schools, beginning in the 2028-29 school year, to provide breasted and non-breasted mannequins for CPR practice in middle school and high school. The goal is to give students more practice with female victims, who studies show are less likely to receive help from bystanders when suffering cardiac arrest. When someone's life is on the line, every second counts, Senator Laura Ellman, Democrat from Naperville, said in a statement. More inclusive, realistic CPR training helps people act quickly and save lives. Senate Bill 3314 requires higher education institutions to provide more transparency about how many credits their faculty members are teaching. The law requires the state's colleges and universities, beginning in September 2028, to report annually the number of credit hours being taught by full and part-time faculty members. The reports would be organized by tenure status and discipline. Lawmakers supporting the bill said the goal is to provide more transparency for students and educators about the higher education system and ensure faculty members are receiving necessary support. This legislation helps shine a light on who is doing the teaching in our colleges and universities by making clear how many credit hours are taught by full-time versus part-time faculty, Illinois Education Association President Carl Goki said in a statement. Our students and their families deserve to know who is leading the bulk of the classes at their colleges and universities. Drivers on Illinois interstates will soon notice more information about human trafficking at rest stops. House Bill 4654 requires the Illinois Department of Transportation to install signs with resources for human trafficking victims in bathrooms at all rest areas beginning immediately. Senate Bill 4041 requires O'Hare and Midway airports in Chicago to conduct noise studies at least every 5 years, beginning by the end of 2030. The study must map out how sound is distributed around the airport and forecast how noise will be distributed going forward. And House Bill 5193 allows more patients to be transported by ambulance to a mental health institution rather than a hospital emergency room beginning immediately. The law now allows people under the influence of drugs or alcohol to be transported to approved mental health facilities if the EMTs determine that's a more appropriate location and it is approved by their supervisors. Today's flick fact question. Can you name the grass that's especially popular for humans to eat at this time of the year? Well, the answer is, it's corn. Officially, it's a tall cereal grass that shares the same plant family as wheat, rice, bamboo, and yes, your front lawn. from the past pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago, August 5th, 1926. They are moving the bones of what is believed to be the first graveyard here for automobiles. The old Cabacker Junkyard at Main Street and Oakland Avenue is being cleared of the accumulating rubbish and will give way to a filling station. Lester Schoeffel has purchased the tract from the Cabacker Estate. 75 years ago, on August 5th, 1951, Bloomington's Jerry Nichols was waving to the crowd after winning the Normal Tomato Festival Soapbox Derby on Saturday over 41 other contestants. He gets a bicycle, as does second-place winner Bobby Pierce. Thomas Jones won third place. 50 years ago, August 5th, 1976, 23 striking employees of Illinois State University, members of Local 8 of International Union of Operating Engineers, were ordered back to work. The union's business agent, Parker Hacker, said the union members will honor the temporary restraining order issued by Circuit Judge Wayne C. Townley, Jr. And 25 years ago today, on August 5th, 2001, after nearly 50 years as a Franciscan, the Reverend Rick Schneider still wears sneakers under his robe. But even when that half-century mark arrives on August 16th for Father Rick, who serves St. Mary's Catholic Church in Bloomington, the on-the-go priest will have served the shortest time of the four Schneider brothers, who are all priests in the Franciscan order. Together, they have devoted 230 years to following the teachings of humility and service of St. Francis of Assisi. Bloomington man died in bike SUV crash. Authorities have identified the bicyclist who died on Sunday evening after being struck by an SUV in Bloomington. Wayne W. Fisher, 88, of Bloomington, was pronounced dead at the scene at 1907 West Washington Street, according to a news release from McLean County Coroner Kathleen Yoder. Fisher was riding a recumbent bicycle when he was struck by the SUV, the coroner said. McLean County deputies and Bloomington police officers were dispatched at about 5:05 p.m. and attempted to provide medical aid, but Fisher did not survive his injuries. According to preliminary autopsy results, he died from multiple blunt injuries. Toxicology testing is pending. The crash remains under investigation by the McLean County Coroner's Office, the Sheriff's Office, and the Accident Reconstruction Team. Logan County eyes moratorium. After their first effort was declared invalid, Logan County board members are revisiting the imposition of a 12-month moratorium on large-scale data centers. On Monday, its Zoning and Economic Development Committee agreed to submit a draft moratorium to Logan County State's Attorney, Brad Haig, who would review the proposal and determine when it could be brought before the proper committees for recommendation. The moratorium, as presented, would be imposed on applications, building permits, zoning amendments, special use requests, and site plans tied to data centers exceeding 100 megawatts. Any developer could apply to build a large-scale data center in Logan County, board member Hannah Fitzpatrick said. We have no protections in place. So why wouldn't we put a moratorium in place until we can finalize data centers? Hut 8, a Miami-based data center developer, has been trying for months to build a 500-megawatt data center outside of Latham. An initial application to develop on 250 acres was withdrawn by Hut 8 so that the county would have time to draft an ordinance setting regulations on all future data center proposals. After the county board was unable to pass a data center ordinance by the end of a two-month moratorium approved in February, it voted in May to pass another moratorium for 12 months. But because the moratorium was not brought before the Regional Planning Committee or the Zoning Board, it was declared invalid. HUD 8 filed another rezoning application with the county for a data center on 720 acres of land. Representatives are also working with the Village of Latham to possibly annex the target area, which would prevent the enforcement of county regulations. When asked whether Hut 8's data center would be subject to regulations once they're approved, Committee Chair Gil Turner said it would be for the county's attorneys to decide. If the new moratorium moves forward, a recommendation from the Zoning Board of Appeals wouldn't take place until September because the board's meeting scheduled for Thursday was canceled. The Planning Commission will meet at 6 p.m. Wednesday at the Oasis Senior Center, 2810 Woodlawn Road in Lincoln. Normal Council files $5 million in spending. The Normal Town Council unanimously received and filed a report covering nearly $4.94 million in expenditures on Monday before meeting in their executive session. The Council's two-item omnibus agenda also included approval of the minutes from its July 20th meeting. No general orders or new business items were scheduled. According to the Council's agenda, the executive session was to discuss land acquisition and pending and probable litigation. It did not identify the property or litigation involved, and City Manager Pam Reese did not provide details. During Council comments, members reminded residents about upcoming SOAR or Special Opportunities Available in Recreation registration, and promoted an August 15th Route 66 Centennial Parking Lot Party at Ryburn Place at Sprague's Super Service, 305 East Pine Street. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. Please stay tuned.